We're discussing pandemic to endemic on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Something to bear in mind, courtesy of Medical News Today, the term pandemic, epidemic, and endemic, they do not describe the severity of a disease. Rather, they describe its prevalence. So this means that one is not inherently worse than the other. So with that in mind, do you think we're past the pandemic stage? What questions do you have about an endemic phase and what that means for you and your loved ones? 800-642-1234. Mark Johnson is a health and science reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Mark, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Well, let's start with definitions so that we can get on the same page. Tell us the difference between an epidemic, a pandemic, and an endemic.
Sure. An epidemic is a disease that's in the middle of a sudden, rapid spread. It becomes a pandemic when it sweeps across continents or even the whole world, as COVID-19 did. It becomes endemic when it is at a fixed sort of general permanent part of our medical landscape. An example would be influenza or HIV.
We've heard a lot of comparisons there to flu, having something that is fixed, general, and permanent, as you say. So when we're talking, as the worldwide death toll officially passes 6 million, you know, as we enter year three of pandemic, what do the epidemiologists look at to reach the conclusion that we're now in an endemic? You know, once we get there, what are they looking at?
I think they're looking at the number of cases, and especially cases and hospitalizations. The problem is that I've talked to a lot of doctors who feel we're already in the endemic phase. Generally, the U.S. counts have been going down precipitously. Our 28-day number of cases is at 2.2 million, which is 6 times lower than it was just 4 weeks ago. The problem is that it's not the same around the world. Other countries are in different stages. Some of the hotspots worldwide are like Russia, Austria, Norway, United Kingdom, Chile, Uruguay, and they're at much, much higher levels than what we're seeing.
And that really gets at, how do you make that call when we've reached an endemic, when the world isn't in lockstep, as you say, like not experiencing the same number of cases and hospitalizations, not experiencing deaths in a uniform way?
Well, I think that's a really good question. I think it was up to the World Health Organization to declare a pandemic. And I think it's probably a good idea for the World Health Organization to weigh in terms of whether it's become an endemic or whether it's reached the endemic phase. The thing is, I think they're both kind of judgment calls. And just to give you an idea of the difference between case rates, in the US now, we're seeing about 12 cases per 100,000 people. Austria is seeing 355 cases per 100,000 people. So it's seeing the kind of rapid spread that we were seeing several months back.
You mentioned the WHO making a call on when we've turned the corner. What about our own CDC? What role will the CDC have in this?
I'm not entirely sure. I think that the CDC obviously weighs in on, it would probably be more involved in determining whether the disease is at an endemic level in our country. Disease can be endemic to one place and still at a different stage in another country. Mm-hmm. For instance, HIV is considered endemic in Africa, but in other places it might not be considered that.
So once we do reach an endemic phase, could we backslide once again into a pandemic with COVID?
We could. That's a very good point. Part of the problem with this this pandemic is that the virus that we were dealing with is a completely new virus, and at a number of different stages, it's fooled everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's entirely possible that in one of these countries where there's very poor vaccination rates, and our vaccination rate now is about 65%, but I counted this morning, there's 52 countries that are under 33%.
Wow.
And there's 17 countries that are under 10%. Mm. So those are prime breeding grounds for a virus to just take off like wildfire.
So once you're in an endemic phase, will you need regular vaccines and boosters? What are the physicians telling you there?
Yes, most likely we will need regular boosters or vaccines. I don't think they're entirely sure yet how often we're going to need them. That's one of the things that the virus has sort of surprised us. I think that the immunity provided from the vaccines wore off a little bit faster than people expected, which is why you had cases of people who were vaccinated and then had breakthrough infections.
Hmm. I wonder then how much impact does the COVID vaccine have on getting us into the endemic phase? What is the correlation there?
Well, if it's effective enough to slow case rates down to a level where they're not overwhelming hospitals, then I think we start to move toward an endemic rate. I think that a number of the epidemiologists I've talked to are sort of on the fence about whether the vaccines are there yet. And the vaccines that we're taking this year, keep in mind that they may not be the vaccines we're taking next year. I think that a number of the vaccine makers have recognized that it would be very helpful to have a vaccine that gives you immunity for longer than 6 months.
A universal vaccine, too, has been the talk, a super vaccine that could take care of multiple variants. Is that still in the cards?
I think so. I mean, as early as the SARS epidemic, there were people that were scientists that were looking at trying to develop vaccines that would be usable for all coronaviruses.
Mm-hmm.
That would include the cold and, you know, other like SARS-1. I think that's still a goal. And if I think there's talk as well of getting a vaccine that would be effective with both COVID-19 and flu. I don't know how complex. I think that would be pretty complex to develop, and I think we're probably years away from that.
Mark Johnson, with us, health and science reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, has been writing extensively on the pandemic over the last couple years. As we enter year three, what is on your mind? Do you think we're past the pandemic and are we now into an endemic phase? What shift in mindset do you have there, and what should we bear in mind as we make that transition or not? 800-642-1234. Mark, some experts have warned against using the word endemic to signify the end of a public health crisis because a disease in an endemic phase can still be wide-reaching. It can still be deadly. Should we not, you know, for lack of a better word, trick ourselves into thinking endemic is safe and, you know, synonymous with normal life?
I think that's actually a very good point. I think that the terminology is reassuring, but maybe a little bit too reassuring right now. I think it's probably safer and a better plan to be cautious. As I said, this particular virus has fooled the experts a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the scientists I've talked to have said that Omicron is unlikely to be the last variant that we see. Right now, the virus is one of the hot spots is Australia. That was an area that was very well protected. They had very strict restrictions as far as allowing people in. That meant that their population had very low levels. But once the virus gets in, it's like a match lighting dry wood. It can it's got this huge population of hosts that are all sort of open season in terms of infections.
Here's another thing to bear in mind and to watch. The USDA saying up to 75% of emerging infectious diseases in humans are zoonotic, that they're passing between species from animals to humans. What do scientists say about the potential for any of these new variants that animals might pass back to humans, potentially mutating into something, totally new?
Well, that's already happened, actually. In, I believe it was 2020, there was an outbreak of COVID-19 on some mink farms.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember correctly, I believe what happened was workers got COVID-19 first. They gave it to some of the mink. It spread very, very quickly among the mink. And then there were actual documented cases of mink spreading it back to humans.
Mm.
Now, the thing that worries scientists and all that is that when a virus is inside a different species, it has a different environment to adjust to. And its DNA will make, will change. It adapts to its environment. So when it comes out of mink after coming from humans, it may not be, in fact, it probably won't be the same virus that we saw before, at least the same variant.
Mm-hmm.
It will, in terms of its DNA, it will look different. And that difference could include mutations that may make it faster spreading or more virulent.
We're almost out of time here, but I'm just wondering, as you've covered this pandemic from the outset, what are you watching for next?
I'm watching for two things. One is how quickly we get vaccine to some of the countries that have very, very low vaccination rates.
Mm-hmm.
The last that I heard, I think the entire continent of Africa was at about 10%, which is very, very low for vaccination rate. As long as there are inequities in terms of the countries, that have vaccinated their populations, those are places where the virus can thrive and where we can get
significant spread and variants. Mark, thank you for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
Mark Johnson covers health and science for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Stay with us for a conversation on burnout, knowing the signs, how best to handle mental exhaustion and prolonged stress. Are you doing too much, or do you feel like there's just too much to do? Let's talk about burnout, what you're experiencing. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.